Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible here. We studied the Bible and we aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation by the grace of the Lord. We've been able to do 20 books of the Bible, and I thank you for always joining us to study, to learn. Remember, like I always say, there's no limitation to revelation. God will reveal his word to whoever shows in it, to whoever has interest in the word, to whoever wants the Lord to speak to them. God will come out, and indeed he will speak to you. He will come out and he will reveal his word to you. So we just need to keep open. We just need to keep believing and wait for him to speak to us. If you've not been able to listen to all the podcasts we've done straight from the book of Genesis, you can find them on our app. That's Bible In-Depth Network. You'll find it on Play Store. You can download it there, and you'll be able to access over 300 episodes that we've done since the book of Genesis. And you can also find them on Spotify, on Stitcher, Deezer, Apple Podcast, Podbean, whichever podcast platform that you know. You'll find us there. You just search for Bible In Depth and you'll be able to access all the teachings that we've done. And as you listen, you open your heart, you let the Lord speak to you. And now today we start on the book of Ecclesiastes. That's a book also accredited to Solomon, one of the wisest that has ever lived. And it starts chapter 1 by saying the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. David had many sons, but the one that made it here, the one that succeeds to appear here, is Solomon. He's the one that comes out. And there's always that one child that always comes out. And we need to aim to be that child that comes out in whatever it is. Yeah, you come out. And it says in verse 2, a statement that we make oftentimes, a statement we hear oftentimes, says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Yeah? And when we hear such a statement, we use it a lot, yeah, in many cases, when trying to say that nothing matters in life, all is for nothing. Yeah, the meaning of vanity, it's futile. It is meaningless. Yeah, it is a wisp of smoke. Just like that, it's gone. It's like a vapor that vanishes. As you're still holding on to it, it's gone. It's like chasing the wind. That's what the meaning of vanity is. Yeah, you're chasing the wind. It is nothing. It is meaningless. It does not matter. And they say that all is vanity. And here, all that they're talking about, anything that does not have the Lord in it, is vanity. They're not saying that all is vanity, including your worship to God. No. This is a statement that is applying to all that which is done without God's guidance. All that which is done out of the confines of the Lord. All that is done that is not about the Lord is vanity. When it comes to the things of God, they are not vanity. So, don't see people praying or going to church and you say, vanity of vanities. No, that doesn't apply to them, because those are things of the kingdom of God. Those are not taken in the category of vanities, because those are things in the confines of God and those are key. But everything else, we hear and we read, the man starting here, this preacher, saying all are vanity of vanities. So, as far as issues of God are concerned, you keep on track. You don't bring out the statement of vanities. You keep worshiping God. You keep honoring God. You keep serving God. You keep living for him, because to him belongs the power, the glory, the honor, the praise. Will give it to him. But here, the preacher starts by telling us it's all a vapor of smoke. It's all chasing the wind. the things that we do, the work that we do, the friendships that you struggle much over, and all that. He says it's like chasing the wind. Name it, as far as it's not in the confines of God. It is vanity, the riches, the wealth that we struggle much to get. Vanity, or vanities. What advantage does man have from all his work, which he does under the sun? He's asking us a question. That while you're on earth, what advantage do you have of all the work that you do? One generation goes and another generation comes. But the earth remains forever. We are not the first to be on this earth. And our parents were not the first to be on the earth. Our grandparents and great-grandparents were not the first to be on the earth. Generations come and generations go. However much I still want so much to be on this earth for generations to come, a day comes when you have to go, when you have to pack your bags and leave room for another. So even in all the things and all the efforts and all the strife and the anger that we have towards each other over the things of the earth, that generation, this generation, will pass. Yeah? It will go and another will come. You will not remain here forever. The earth is the only thing that remains here forever. It has occupants that come and go. Also, the sun rises and the sun sets and hurries to the place where it rises again. The wind blows toward the south, then circles towards the north. The wind circles and swirls endlessly, and on its circular course, the wind returns. Talking of movements of the sun, movements of the wind. All the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place where the rivers flow, there they flow again. Of course, that we know. Yeah? And if it's a root of a river, you cannot block it. It will flow. All things are wearisome, and all words are frail. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. You cannot say that I have stopped seeing, so I'm going to shut my eyes. Still, you can't shut them forever. You will have to open them, because the eye cannot be satisfied with what it sees. You will always see. Even when you get tired and you sleep, still you have to wake up and see. Same thing with hearing. You cannot stop yourself from hearing unless you go and kill the system. But you will hear. Even when you say, I don't want to hear anyone speaking, there will be somebody who comes out and speaks, because the ear will not get tired. It's still filled with hearing. That which has been, verse 9, is what is that which will be again. And that which has been done is that which will be done again. So there is nothing new under the sun. This verse is telling us that everything we see today has happened before. Is that amazing? Everything that we do today has been done before. There is nobody who has a new trick. There is nobody who has something new and it's in their book and they're like, I am the one who has invented this, so it is me. Yeah? That hairstyle that you have has been done before. You're not the first to have it. That dress code and style has been done before. Isn't it amazing when you even get into the design or dressing industry and style, that when we say a new style has come, you will find an old man, old woman somewhere in the video saying, we used to dress like that in our years when we were still young. Yet for us, we feel and think it's something new we've invented. What has been done? Yeah? All of that which is being done today has been done before. There's nothing new under the sun. You're not the first to marry. There are people who have married. You're not the first to get angry. There are people who have been angry like you. You're not the first to go through the circumstance or situation you're going through. There are people who have gone through it before. There are people who have got experiences of all sorts in the world today. And the word, as per the scripture and verse that is telling us, that which is being going through today has happened before. The individual might change. The individual going through that experience might change. But then, that doesn't imply that which they are doing is something new. No, it has happened before. Even when it comes to tech, because we might say, okay, now how about the technological advancement that is happening in the world today? How come it's happening? Isn't it new? We've not seen it before. Isn't that something new we should consider? Scripture here is telling us there is nothing new under the earth. Even that which we see has been done. I think it's quite so high of us to think that we are the first to exist. Bible tells us God has been there. God has existed. So the earth is just one of the other creations and has its storyline that starts from Genesis, but that may not imply that you are the first. There could have been, and it's easy to think about, with the universe and the billions of galaxies that exist, earth being just one of a star or a planet amongst billions of galaxies that exist. How do you know about life that has ever existed elsewhere? Or even technological advancement. If you're a good researcher and you go and read and also listen and watch different content online, you'll find discussions that happen, even for issues we were discussing recently about unidentified flying objects and the existence of them. They are not a myth. They do exist. And the tech that they have, it said, is billions and billions of years ahead of the tech that we have here on Earth. So, when the phone is busy being invented and a plane and how fast it moves, it's not for us to think we are the first to invent it. Because if these UFOs have such quick movement and such high tech that exists, implies they went through the phone already. They went through the iPhone 12 and whichever version that it is that could be latest. They have seen it all. So it's not the first. You may tap into it, but it's not the first, because from here it is written, there is nothing new under the sun. Yeah? We are just living a recorded script. That is the implication here. Of course, mysteries get revealed to us, and we need to always believe the Lord to reveal something new to you, but it may don't necessarily imply that you're the first to have it. Yeah, this man that is writing this book, considered one of the wisest, if not actually the wisest that has ever lived, it implies he knew everything. Even that which I know now, and I say I've invented, it implies Solomon had the ability to do it. He knew it. So, it can be of some comfort there, that there's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it can be said, see, it is new? It has already existed for ages. Yeah? That's what verse 10 is saying. It has existed in the vast ages of time, recorded or unrecorded. Now, for the Bible, when it starts in Genesis, it's giving a recorded time. But then there are those things that have not been recorded. There could have been existence that has not been recorded. That's what he's saying here, saying, you come out and say it is new, but guess what? It has already existed for ages, even unrecorded ages. Yeah, of course, that's not for us to easily know. We may even never know it. And I don't say go out on a search to know about it. Yeah, but it's just an alert trying to tell you, you know what? There's been life before, probably. Or there's been existence before. Or there's been tech before, or there's been something, even that which we consider new, there's something that has existed before. Of course, to the earth it is new, because you're the one who is inventing it, but you do not know, because here we are told, some things have existed even in unrecorded ages, yeah, which were before us. That statement is key. Which were before us. Us, they are not talking about your great-great-grandfather, no. Which were before us, even that which is unrecorded. Yeah? And this is an eye-opener, of course, for us to think broader and understand broader some of these things. Verse 11, there is no remembrance of earlier things, nor also of the latter things that are to come. Yeah? They don't remember the things that happened earlier, or even the things that are to come. There will be for them no remembrance by generations who will come after them. You don't remember what your great-great-grandfather did. Even when they write it in a book, there's a day when your children or great-grandchildren will not even see that book. So sometimes we puff up for nothing. Yeah? We do all these things for memory, for nothing. They'll be forgotten. Because those who are coming also want to remember their own things, their own life, their own inventions, their own work, their own sweat. And they won't have time for you. This is just something to cool us down. Sometimes when you read this book, it brings you down, gives you a level, trying to show you that you're not the first, you're not the last, and there are other things, other people, other existences, and we just need to always keep on the ground. Here, we are being told, it does not imply that they will remember you or remember what you've done, just like you also have no interest in remembering the people that existed before you and what they've done. Yeah? So here, it's very clear from what he's trying to tell us concerning the world, concerning the past, concerning the future. That as I sweat so much, I'm not saying be lazy, but if you give your entire life to it and you're not caring about others, you're not even putting God at the center of it all, then vanity. Vanity is just like he started. He concludes that section by saying, vanity of vanities, even that which you're fighting much to be remembered for. Vanity of vanities. Generations that come after you won't be focusing on you, but will look to that which they too have to achieve. And even to them, that which they try to achieve shall not be remembered. Everything, friends, goes down to the Lord. Even in the work that I do, in the things that I do, eventually it all goes down to the Lord, to the desire of the Lord, to working for the Lord, to being there and worshiping Him and fearing Him and reverence to Him and honor to Him and ministry to Him. That will give me the satisfaction. Things of the world do satisfy, but for a while. But for the Lord, He will satisfy you forever. The Lord shall give you joy. The Lord shall give you peace. With the Lord, you don't even care about whether your name shall be remembered so much over generations to come. You're saying, I'll be a good servant of God. I'll be a good minister to the Lord. I'll be a good worshiper to God. Because as far as issues are concerned, God does not forget you. The world will forget you. The generations to come will forget you. But God does not forget you. Verse 12, I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I set my mind to seek and explore by man's wisdom all human activity that has been done under heaven. Solomon is saying, I gave myself a task because he's wise. Yeah, when you're talking about wisdom, this guy is wise. He knows everything concerning life, concerning the world. With the wisdom that God has given him, he has put it upon himself to search, yeah, to go out and search for the things that have happened before under heaven. And he says, it is a miserable business and a burdensome task which God has given the sons of men with which to be busy and distressed. He says, I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, a futile grasping and chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened, and what is defective and lacking cannot be counted. Imagine the words of Solomon. He says, by my wisdom, that which God gave me, I went and sought the past. I went and looked into the past. I was able to go ages and ages before all that has been recorded. I have been able to go through it. even that which has not been recorded by my wisdom, which God gave me, me being greater in wisdom than all that have existed on the earth. I have gone to the past. I have seen it. I've seen what the guys did. I've seen the tech they did. I've seen everything they came up with. And guess what? All is vanity. All is chasing after the wind. It is defective. It has been crooked. It is lacking and cannot be counted. But God has given the task to us to be busy. We are busy over affairs. We are busy over construction. We are busy over inventions. God has given it to us to be busy. But also, he's saying, know that all is vanity. That is not a call to laziness, that I will sit there doing nothing. No. But as I do that which I do, let it not take the place of God. Let it not take people's relationships into things that don't matter, into connections as things that don't matter. Let it not make me become a person that has no regard for others. No, let that not be the case. Because eventually, I have to achieve on earth. I have to be successful. I have to work with my hands. And God will help me succeed. But if it comes down to me taking that higher above God, it's still vanity. And for him, he has gone through. He has checked it out. He's seen it and says, it does not matter that much. So, what is it for me in this earth? Is it a call for me to sit down and do nothing? No. It's a call for me to be active, to work, to do all God has enabled me to do with my strength, to be a lover, to be a doer, to be somebody who blesses. But as I do all this, I need to remember and retain the fact that everything belongs to the Lord. My work belongs to the Lord. My inventions belong to the Lord. My body belongs to the Lord. My strength belongs to the Lord. So as I do all those things, I keep in mind that the center of it all is the Lord Almighty. Otherwise, we see people work so hard. We see empires being built and they last generations, but a day comes when that empire has fallen, when it does not make or sound a name anymore. Vanity of vanities. And I've wanted riches. I've wanted to live a good life. And I end up hurting others, doing all crooked things to make it in life. And after I've got it, vanity of vanities. Meaningless. Chasing the wind. The word is clear. The only satisfaction in life that you're going to get is the Lord himself, is the serving of the Lord, is the worshiping of the Lord, is walking with the Lord, is doing as the Lord demands of me. That is the satisfaction. With the Lord, there is no vanity. With the Lord, there is nothing that you come out and say is meaningless. To the Lord, everything has a purpose and everything is beneficial. It is profitable. To the kingdom business, everything is profitable. To the kingdom business, to the work of the Lord, everything is meaningful. You're not chasing after the wind. So in my life, I'll determine and say that I'll serve the Lord. Because to me and to the understanding, it's not vanity. There's no time that you give to the Lord that is considered meaningless. There's no worship that you give to the Lord that is considered meaningless. So as I work, go out there to work on the things that are meaningless, I need to keep that which was of value, the worship to the Almighty, and do it justly, because it is that which eventually will matter after everything else has been forgotten. Verse 16, it goes on and says, I spoke with my heart, saying, behold, I have acquired great wisdom and experience. This is Solomon saying, I've acquired great human wisdom. I've acquired great experience more than all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my mind has observed a wealth of wisdom and knowledge. Here in bracket, they say scientific knowledge. Solomon with the wisdom he had, even had knowledge in science. You can even outrightly come out and say he's the best scientist that has ever lived. He's the best inventor that has ever lived. Because he knew, and here he says it. I've had it. I've had a wealth of wisdom. I've had a wealth of scientific knowledge. I know about it. And I set my mind to know wisdom and to discern the character of madness and folly in which men seem to find satisfaction. Things that we find satisfaction in that don't matter. I realized that this too is a futile grasping and chasing after the wind. For in much wisdom, human wisdom, take note, there is much displeasure and exasperation. Increasing knowledge increases sorrow. The more he knew, the more he felt sad. The more he knew and went into the past and the unrecorded ages and saw the things that have happened there and the achievements that have been there and the fact that they are futile, they are not known anymore, they've gone. With more knowledge came sorrow. With more knowledge came sorrow. Because he saw, looked at what he did, looked at achievements he's done, and he knew they will be forgotten. Do you know there's a person who does not know about Solomon? With all that he did, with all the achievement he had, he should have been known even today. But you may go and talk to somebody as you go out to work today, and you find them in town and say, do you know a man called Solomon in the Bible? And he says, who is Solomon? However wise he was, wisest that has ever lived, that person does not know Solomon. However much achievement he had, they do not know about him. That helps you take humble pie and know that in life we might achieve, but our achievements and successes are not what define us. It is God that defines us, because all that we do, all that we achieve, shall be forgotten one day. All the knowledge that we have shall be forgotten. All the wisdom that we've portrayed shall be forgotten. But there's one thing that will always remain, and that is the Lord. And we keep in the knowledge of the Lord. We keep in the purpose of the Lord. We keep walking with the Lord, because with the Lord there is no vanity. With the Lord, everything is meaningful. With the Lord, it's not like chasing after wind. With the Lord, you chase after the greatest treasure for your life. And that is what matters. We shall close there today. May we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your revelation. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for leading us. And Lord, we pray that you help us walk with you all the days of our lives. May we walk with you, may we serve you, and may we do everything in this world, but keep our eyes on you, because with you, everything has purpose, everything has meaning. And we exhort you and pray for a blessing today, pray for prosperity today, and we believe for a better day to come today. May we go out and be blessed. May we have income. May we have job opportunities. May we have businesses flourish. May we have successes at work. May we have progress in our workplaces, in our families. Bless us, protect us, heal us from all sorts of diseases. Lord, help us stand for you and represent you at all times. We exalt you and we give you all glory and all honor, because you are our Father and King. We love you, and we pray that you're always with us all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.